Expert Talk is sponsored by Pod Nation TV, the podcast to broadcast network.
Everybody, welcome to the show. You know where you are, Expert Talk with me, Tigo. And today, well, you know, I love bringing in experts. Yes, I do. I love figuring out how they took their journey and what made them do that. But you also know I'm dyslexic. So reading thick books and all that kind of stuff, it took me time to be able to do that. So visual is my game. It's who I am and what I love to do. And today, we have Todd Churches on the show, and he's all about visual. He's all about visual thinking, visual leadership, and he's got a great story about Superman. So sit right there. We'll be right back. Guys know I love bringing experts. I love bringing people that can show us the way down these paths and journeys that we're trying to take. But today is really special because I've said it many times, I'm dyslexic and I have issues from time to time kind of dealing with that. And I live in a visual mind. So if I live in a visual mind, what's the best expert for Tigo? A visual thinker. And today we have Todd Churches on. Todd, are you out there?
I am, Tigo. Great to see you.
So before we get started, let's talk about what is a visual thinker? What made you come up with that? Is it your own invention?
Well, basically, if you think about it, visual thinking is about thinking in pictures, right? So much of what we do in the business world is about thinking in words and in numbers, but it's really about pictures. How do you get other people to, quote, see what you're saying is the focus of what I do. So we'll talk a little bit about my background, but coming from the entertainment and TV industry, and being a literature major as an undergraduate and being a big reader from an early age, it's all about storytelling, metaphor, and pictures to get your ideas out there into the world.
Okay, you just kind of skipped over the best part of what I love about this, because as a child, you were literally addicted to television like me, right? You love TV.
Yeah, as a baby boomer, we grew up, you know, the parents would just put us in front of the TV, and I used to start with the test pattern. People don't even know what that is anymore, but they're only, you know, when there was nothing on TV, there was just like this pattern on the screen.
Exactly.
But we grew up watching Saturday morning cartoons. How great was it every season? What, you know, Fat Albert or Globetrotters or, all Superman.
Oh, you going back.
All those shows from the 70s and... So we grew up on that. So it was all about storytelling, imagery. We grew up with that and the music and everything. So that formed our conception of how the lens through which we view the world was very much based in what we watched as kids and what we read as kids.
So true, so true. Do you remember, I remember when they would do the cartoon teaser like on Friday night to tell you what was coming up for the new season. Do you remember that?
That was, and one of the greatest things in the world was when the fall issue of the TV Guide came out with the preview of all the new shows that were going to be on. That was like one of the most exciting days of the year.
I know. It just doesn't have the same feel. And now there's channels everywhere and TV everywhere. And the kids just, you know, they can pick up their phones and watch cartoons. They don't even look at Saturday morning anymore. They're like, we can watch cartoons 24/7 if we want to. Yeah, I think they're kind of missing out on our wonderful childhood.
Yeah. I once gave my students a brain teaser and I said, what's the next number in the sequence? And I wrote on the board 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11. What's the next number? And they're all doing calculations and everything else. I said, the number is 13. Those were the only TV channels I had growing up. Like, that was it. So they were like, and I had black and white TV. So that shows how old I am. But they just couldn't believe that's all you had to choose from those, like, what was that, in 7 channels or whatever. And now there's a million. So
I'm with you. I'm with you. And my father, you know, I was the remote control for my dad. He'd scream out the window to come in and change the channel, you know, next.
That's great.
So
that's great.
Right there with you. So did you really want to be Superman when you grew up?
I did. I had a little bit of a Superman obsession. So comic books and TV show with George Reeve as Superman. And so I did. So people would say when I was a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'd say Superman. And they'd say, well, if you can't be Superman, what's your backup plan? I'd say Batman. So like that was my vision of my two career options. And then when I grew up, I realized that that was not possible. So the next best thing was to work in the TV industry in some capacity. So everything I did was really geared towards trying to get a job in TV. I didn't even know what types of jobs. And even though I talk loud and fast because I'm from New York, I'm an extreme introvert. I always say I'm a 3Bs kind of guy, a back of the room, behind the scenes bookworm by nature. So I always thought I would like maybe be a writer or be one of those, like a network TV exec or whatever. And after graduating from college, I moved out to Hollywood when I was 24 and pursued my goal of working in the TV industry. And I was out there for 10 years, had a great experience, and then moved back to New York and then found myself just landed in management leadership development and coaching, which is what I've been doing ever since.
Wow. Okay. But I saw a TEDx talk. I think I've watched it 3 times now.
Oh, that's nice.
Because you went to China, right? You went to Asia for this project and you couldn't speak the language and you drew like hammers and nails and stuff?
Yeah, here you go. Here's the visual of the picture right there. Some of the sketches I did. Yeah, I got there. And it was just myself and 2 crew members, an engineer and a mechanical guy. And we got there on site. We had to produce these life-size animal figures for a cultural theme park in Shenzhen, China, which is just over the border from Hong Kong. So they were shipped across the Pacific Ocean. We get there ready to do the installation and all the Chinese laborers, no one spoke English at all. Even the translator didn't speak English, as I mentioned in my TED talk. So it's like, what do? How do you get an idea out of your head? How do you know, what the other person is thinking and saying. And we just started picking up pens and drawing pictures and saying, I need a screwdriver, I need a hammer or whatever. And like the light bulb went off, which is a metaphor, which we can talk about also, is that you know, we don't just communicate in words, we communicate in visual language, but also, you know, that's why a picture is worth 1,000 words because it translates across other languages. So that was like the origin story of how I originally got into visual thinking. And even though I didn't realize it at the time, it became part of the way I did things going forward.
You know, one of the favorite sayings my father used to say all the time is like, can you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, you know, being a smart aleck kid from the South Side of Chicago, I wanted to say no, because you're talking, but you're not doing pictures. Yeah. But he used to say that all the time. What does that phrase, can you see what I'm saying, mean to you?
Yeah, it's how do you get an idea out of you know, when someone says something and it's like, you're just not getting it, or what, you know, why isn't, I'm making it so clear in my mind, but why doesn't the other person get it? It's because what we need to do is translate the picture of what we have in our mind into either words or images so that the other person sees what we're saying. One of the other images here is this one. You know, you have an idea, you need to frame it in such a way that you can get it out of your head and into the other person's head so that they can say, I see what you're saying. And that's the hardest thing to do in life, or one of the hardest things to do is communicate effectively. And that's whether it's between significant others, parents and children, or bosses and employees, or companies and their customers, we need to get our ideas out there into the world. And visual thinking is just one way of doing it to help you be more effective.
Is that also helping kind of bridge the gap between international business and, you know, local business? Because now the world is so connected. I mean, we're talking to China in 1 hour and, you know, dealing with Mexico in the next. Is that helping?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, you just used the phrase bridge the gap, which is a metaphor, right? We use metaphorical language. So you picture a gap is like a space between two things. And what does a bridge do? It connects things. One of the stories I tell in my book, my father, we'd be driving from Queens to Brooklyn to visit my great grandmother. And we'd pass a sign and my father would say, you know, someone give me a pencil and paper, hurry up. And my mother would roll her eyes and say, why, Harvey? He said, don't you see the sign? And the sign said, draw a bridge. Right. That's one of those. That's one that you just talked about your father. That's one of those corny dad jokes that my father said every time we passed there. Right. So, you know, but if you think about drawing, it's about creating, using an image, and bridge is about connection. Right. So if we draw a bridge, we can connect and close that gap between whether it's us in China or us in Mexico. So and a textbook I had in college was called Bridges, Not Walls. So just like a brick can build either a bridge or a wall, our words can either connect us or divide us. So that's one of the great metaphors that I use all the time.
I love this conversation so much, but if I don't take a break, our producer's going to hurt me. So when we get back, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but we need to talk about the Oscar of management and what that means. Okay. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Expert Talk is sponsored by Pod Nation TV, the podcast to broadcast network.
Hey, I have a quick question for you. Do you want a professional agency to handle all your video creation, syndication, and monetization needs? We totally understand that new leads and customers are the lifeblood for any business. And if you're looking to grow or scale your business, using video is definitely the best way to go. Here at Melrose 11, we specialize in getting you the results you need to help you grow your business by generating new leads, driving more traffic, and closing more sales without breaking your bank. Did you know, according to HubSpot, having a well-targeted video on your landing page can increase conversions by up to 80%? Yeah, and up to 64% of users are more likely to buy a product online after watching video than by text alone. And that 92% of mobile users share videos with others. And 90% of users say that videos are helpful in their purchase decision-making. Incorporating video into your marketing and social media activity is no longer an option, it's an absolute requirement if you're looking for long-term success. Heck, it may even be essential for the very survival of a business. Here at Melrose 11, media truly is our passion. We create animated explainer videos, social teasers, catchy intros, full HD commercials, and even viewer interactive videos. So, if you're looking to elevate your brand, or attract more leads, generate more sales, increase traffic, or build up more exposure for your business, then you've definitely come to the right place. Our professional team will develop your video campaigns at an affordable price, with our fast turnaround times, and a quality of work that can't be beat. We look forward to working with you.
Welcome back. We're talking with Todd Churches. We're talking about visual learning and the power of, you know, just being able to take advantage of communicating through imagery and through vision. And I love it. I mean, it really helps me with my dyslexia and everything that I'm doing. But we also kind of went at the break to talk about the Oscar of management. You've been nominated in the 50 Thinkers, right?
Yeah, Thinkers 50 is considered the Oscars of management, and they have awards ceremonies every 2 years. And I was very surprised and amazed to get that nomination on Monday morning. I got that email saying you've been nominated. So out of all the hundreds of people, there's 10 different categories of awards, and I was nominated in the leadership category with seven other nominees. So as they say, you know, I don't want to get my Oscars, my speech ready for the award ceremony, but it's just like they say, it's an honor just to be nominated among an esteemed group of colleagues. So that was a really nice surprise. So that just happened this week.
Well, I'm going to throw my 2 cents in and say, yep, it's an honor for you to be nominated, and I'm very, very proud of you. But if anybody out there that has the power, you want this man to get this honor. He's awesome. We'll call him T-Bone for nothing. Come on now. He's a thinker 50. Come on.
Like when Harry met Sally, when T-Bone met Tego, that should be a movie.
Don't make me get the cameras out and start making this movie up.
And I love that you guys do explainer videos, animated explainers. That's like right up my alley when it talks about visual communication.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, I'm truly a believer of a picture's worth a thousand words. Then what's a really good, you know, video, an explainer video? What's that worth? You know, I think it's millions of words. You know, let's talk about your book, because I got mine in the mail the other day. Let's talk about your book. Where did it come from? What made you decide to do it? You know, the visual leadership.
Yeah, thanks, Teresa. Yeah, I'm a big business book reader. Well, basically, going back for a second, once I started working in the entertainment industry, one of the patterns I found was that I had one horrible boss after another. And I realized there's got to be a better way to manage and lead people than through tyranny and abuse. One of my bosses, I was working at a TV network out in LA, I don't want to say which one, but I was sitting at my desk and I just felt something whip by my head. She threw a box of pens at me because they were the wrong ones. She wanted the fine point and these were the medium point. And so I use that when I'm teaching feedback, like in my NYU and Columbia classes. I say, let's see, if you got your boss the wrong thing, is there any other way you're giving them feedback, right? Other than throwing it at their head. And like, nope, I can't think of anything. That's the only way to do it. So it is a great visual image, although it's kind of traumatizing at the time, as you can imagine being on the receiving end of that. But then I realized that there are other ways to manage and lead, and that it's both an art and a science. And most managers are just thrown into these manager jobs without any training or coaching. So I started reading. You can see like some of the books, the management leadership books on my shelves behind me. And in 1998, I started reading management books one after another after another. And I've read an average of one business book a week since 1998. So that's 22 years, 50 a year. So I've passed over 1,100 business books that I've read since I started this addiction. So after reading all these books, people started saying to me, when are you going to write your own? And after years of writing notes and accumulating content, I finally got a book deal. I sat down, I wrote it, and it came out last year, published by Post Hill Press, Simon & Schuster. So it's pretty cool.
So what are they going to learn when they pick up this book, other than the graphics is awesome and I love the title? Thanks. What's the purpose, and what are they going to learn when they grab this book off the shelf?
Well, a few things. One, just from the title, visual leadership, I actually have the trademark on the word visual leadership as it's spelled.
Wow.
And the fact that it's a single word with a shared L represents the fact that who you are and how you lead is inseparable from the lens through which you see the world, right? We always talk about as a leader, whether you're Elon Musk or whether you're, you know, Steve Jobs or you know, whoever, you know, what's your picture of the future, right? Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have a dream, right? He didn't say, I have a business plan. I have a, you know, Excel spreadsheet. He had a dream, right, of an idealized future, a future state that was different from and better than the current reality. That's the foundation of what visual leadership is all about, is how do you make your vision a reality? And to do that, you have to get that picture out of your head and into the heads of other people. And I actually wrote a blog post called Martin Luther King Jr., The King of Visual Communication, because no one that I've ever seen has ever used visual language. I mean, he didn't have PowerPoint slides, right? He got up there in front of millions of people and used visual language, imagery, alliteration, poetry of words to create an image in other people's minds. So it's like, that is like, to me, the ultimate example of visual leadership. So that's what the foundation. One of the other concepts, if you notice on the book, there's a rainbow colored eye, and the rainbow eye represents two things. It represents diversity and inclusion, and the fact that just as no one in the world has a rainbow colored eye, no one in the world sees the world the same way you do. So part of our understanding is that it's like, don't you get what I'm saying? No, because I'm seeing it through a different lens. So our job is to get other people to see it. And the colors of the rainbow represent innovation and creativity, and that we need to be innovative and creative in terms of expressing our ideas. So that's the dual purpose of the rainbow colored eye. So just before you even open the book, those are like, you could spend an hour just talking about what the cover represents.
Oh my goodness, I love it, I love it. And just going back for a second to Dr. Martin Luther King, I mean, he's been gone longer than a lot of people that are on this planet have even been alive. Yeah. And we're still learning from this man. Yeah. Yeah. You know, not just once a year, there's things that happen throughout the year that touch on speeches that he made and events that he was in, and just how he, in his timeline, how it keeps going 50 years later. And it's really amazing to me.
Yeah, I wrote a blog post that basically I breaks out every metaphor that he uses. And I reposted every Martin Luther King Day, and it just revitalized it. So sometimes if you just read a speech, if you just listen to the words, or if you just watch him and listen to it at the same time, you're experiencing that speech in different ways. And yet every single time it takes on new meaning. So it's just like, that's to me like the ultimate example of visual thinking, visual communication, and visual leadership.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, before I let you get out of here, because I promised you I wouldn't keep you too long, we got to talk about this September shuffle that's going on. I mean, people are scared to go back to work. And if you are watching this in 2028 or 2034, because once it's out there in the world, it never comes down. Mm-hmm. And you go, Tego, what are you talking about? We're talking about COVID. It is 2021 right now, August. And people are having to go back to work next month into their actual buildings, and people are having some issues with that. Can we touch on that for a minute?
Sure. Yeah, it's early August. In less than a month, companies are going to be saying, you know what, everyone can get back to work. And a lot of employees are going to say, I'm not ready. So one of the things we talk about in the HR world is psychological safety, but also physical safety. Do people feel physically safe going back to an office? Do they feel psychologically safe? So one CEO I was talking to said, all right, it's time for people to put on their big boy pants and stop complaining and get back to work. The party's over. As if COVID, this pandemic, was some kind of party and people just sitting around at home watching TV for the last year and a half. This has been a psychologically, emotionally, physically, spiritually exhausting period. And people are calling it the Great Reset, the Big Quit, the Great Resignation. Futurists usually talk about what's going to happen 3 to 5 years from now. No one knows what's going to happen 30 days from now, right? So we're all just trying to figure out how you manage and lead in this COVID and post-COVID world where some people are working from home. Some people are working in a Starbucks. Some people are in the office. There's out of sight, out of mind, thinking about visual thinking. Who gets the attention and the promotions, the people in the office or the people working from home? If you're a working mother who needs to take care of your children or your parents, women in the workforce are being penalized doubly because they have these responsibilities. So there's so much complexity that it's going to take not just management, because there's a saying, you manage processes, you lead people. We really need to put on our leadership hats and say, how can we get things done, listen with empathy and compassion, see things through different lenses, and, you know, the spirit of diversity, inclusion, belonging, equity. These are all things that leaders need to take into consideration. So those who want to, I mentioned it before, you know, Prince had the song, we want to party like it's 1999. A lot of leaders want to turn back the clock and start working like it's 2019. That's not happening. We can't go back. We can only go forward. And that's what we need to focus on. How do we go forward in a way that's productive, but that is most beneficial not only to organizations, but to the people in those organizations?
Wow. Well, we touched on this much, and I hope you'll come back often and often, because we can go when you're talking about visual. For me, visual learning, visual leadership, you're talking my language. So for people that are listening,
open our minds to new possibilities, to create the space, because if we have closed minds, we're not going to be able to do it. So we need to open things up. And
I love it. For people that are listening right now, how do they find you? Because they can't see it on the screen. So how do they find you?
Sure. The best way is just to go to toddchurches.com, go to my website, and there you can download my list of top 52 visual leadership books. You can watch my TED Talk and you can learn more. Or feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. I live on LinkedIn. So just say you saw me on Tego's show, link in with me, and we'll start a conversation.
I love it. Thank you so much, T-Bone, for hanging out with the Tego. You are the best. Now, for everybody out there watching, you know how I do. I always tell you, thank you for watching. I hope you'll come back next time. And as always, I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.